Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Whitney, and I'll be your worship leader today. The speakers seem to be working well today. I went and test drove a car yesterday, and one of the features of the car that the children were not fond of was it had a little feature where you could take over the entertainment system and use it as a microphone so they couldn't be on their screens and not hear you. They don't want me to buy that car. You want to do announcements?
Absolutely.
A few announcements as we get started. The first one is thanks for joining us online. If you are there, please put in your prayer requests. We'll make sure to get those at the end of the service. And also, you have Jenkins Kids and Child Care as you need it, parents. Women's events. Is Liz here? Liz, I have not seen Liz. She is here somewhere. I'll be Liz for a second. Hey, Liz.
There she is.
Would you and your precious baby that you're holding like to tell us about the women's event or anything you need to let us know?
Next Saturday.
Yeah. Y'all gonna be get creative, huh? Good.
And then,
I don't know. This is the first one I got to. I will say, Jamie has been here before and been with us. She's part of the, been part of the burrito ministry. She's done this thing in several places, and she's a really incredible talent for being able to bring out creativity. So I hope y'all can be a part of that. Perfect. Thank you, ma'am. The new elder ordination and installation will be the 25th, so I guess that's two Sundays. We have a called general assembly meeting on the 23rd that Liz wants to be a part of, and so we'll have new elders on the 25th. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and sacrifice up Wayne and Larry now. So there you go. Are there any? You had some announcements, I believe. Yeah, come on down. While she's coming, also, Nikki and I have been working on a Bible study coming up, and we're going to be having some more ideas coming up that soon. But, yeah, some really cool Bible study stuff coming up. So we'll be talking about that more in the next week or two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A few years ago, I observed after potluck that it was the same people cleaning up every time, and thinking that these people were generous in their service, but that there were other people who I'm sure didn't mind helping clean up, just, you know, somebody give them a call. And so I brought this up to the congregation a few years ago, and we sent around a sign-up sheet and got a great list. And let me just say thank you to all you people who are been doing this on the list, because it's just wonderful to have. Very rarely did I call someone and they said they couldn't do it. It was usually they weren't going to be there maybe or something. But anyway, through the years, we've kind of lost some people and we've gained people and stuff. So I thought it was maybe time to send the list around again. I put the people on here who have been doing it, so you're not allowed to cross your name off or anything. But if you'll, all of you who think that you might, wouldn't mind, just every once in a while, if we rotate around the term, what, many hands make light work. So if we can get more people to sign up, then it won't make these people have to work quite as many times. But it's several months apart, so it's not very difficult to do. So we really appreciate it. And I have to say, before I finish this, that we have to thank our leader, Steve Alamore, who through good times and hard times for him, he's always there and he always gets things going and stuff. We just appreciate you so much, Steve. Thank you so much. I'm going to pass this around. I'll start with the choir, and if somebody will pass it on around to. The other announcement I have is, y'all probably haven't noticed, but we don't have a sign out front. We do hope someday we're going to put another sign out. And we thought maybe it was time to start getting together to talk about what we'd like our sign to have. So from the session, we've talked to a few people. We haven't had a meeting yet about what people would like, and I certainly would like input from any of you who would like to be on the committee with us. You are welcome. If you just let me know, I will let you know when we're going to have a meeting. And if you even just have some opinions and suggestions, if you'll write that down and give it to me, that'll help, because we know we're not going to please everybody, but there's still a lot of different signs you can see out there, and we understand it takes a long time once you order a sign, so we want to have it ready to go whenever we do have a space for it. So, okay, thank you.
I only have one request. Yeah. The two of you all keep doing the sign, Ruth and you, because it has been fantastic all the time.
Well, so we've missed
for
it.
For those who haven't, I'm going to let you, for those who haven't been around for forever, there was, what was
like 5 years ago, it was a pre-pandemic that y'all went viral.
It was a fish dinner,
and we had a sign up that said, "Our cod is an awesome cod." And it hit viral and went all over the Southeast and was a huge deal. So that's the only request I have, is what I'm getting at, is y'all continue.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please rise for the call to worship. From Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl. and strips the forest bare.
In his temple, all say glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Prayer of invocation. Lord, for as long as people recognize that you existed, we have prayed to you for peace. We have scratched it on parchment scrolls in the desert, scribed it upon cloths with ink made from plants and the burnt embers from the fire. We have written it upon linen and wood pages with pens of animal feathers, hammered it out on pages with mechanical typewriters and ribbons, typed it on computers and sent to dot matrix printers, and spoken into Apple iPads with voice transcription to be burnt on fine paper with lasers. Lord, let it be so.
Yes, Lord.
Let us be ready. Let mankind find the way. I pray it doesn't take another 1,000 years, my Lord. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Please join together and sing with us hymn number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Scripture of assurance is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
I am thrilled to death. Just beyond, almost to the point I cannot stand to be any more thrilled than to live in a time and a place where there's not really that much going on in the world, really, is there? Not much. I mean, nothing's really going on. We don't have to deal with anything. That's, you know. We're at Mercy Church. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's international stuff going on. There's world stuff going on. There's local stuff going on. There's family stuff going on in some families. There's some stranger stuff going on in some other families. Somebody's got some stuff going on with some friends. Somebody's got some stuff going on with some enemies, I assume.
Well, it was on. Now it is. I don't need to start over because y'all know what I said. There's a lot going on.
Amen.
Isn't there? You can talk about our own little personal lives. You can start going out from there. But what we know is that with all the things and all the outlets and everything, there's always this bombardment in our lives of things that are happening, and oftentimes they don't look good. They look rough, man. Things can look tough and difficult. Thank God there's some hope, huh? That's what this scripture was all about, was that there are times that are challenging and they're dangerous and they're difficult and they can be horrific. Time and again in this world, we have seen horrible things and God do something in the middle of it anyway. I think of acts done in private. I think of families who hid Jews in World War II. I think of our own history when slaves would run away and they would have to be cared for and taken care of as they tried to find their way to free areas. I think of these things, but it doesn't have to be like that either. It can exist when we know somebody else's world is tough. And so we're just there with them in those private moments, supporting one another, caring, loving. Until we sit around long enough that we can finally discern what it is that God's doing in this world. Until God does something that is bigger than we can possibly imagine. And that's the promise of this scripture. That's the hope. That in the difficult days, when it gets the darkest, is when we have the most hope that God's still doing those amazing things that God has always done. And that's the assurance I have on Sunday mornings of why I sing in the midst of dark days. Let's sing again.
The next song, Gentle Shepherd, speaks to moments when we're tired, uncertain, or in need of direction. So as we sing, let's place ourselves again in Christ's care. Gentle Shepherd, everyone.
To help.
Does anybody else not know that song? I did not know that song. Didn't even. Do it again sometime for us, please. That is stunning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Suzanne and Amy got Jenkins kids today, so if you're young and want to go hang out with Suzanne and Amy, and who could blame you? Because they're good people. Y'all can knock yourselves out and hang out with the kiddos. As part of the offering, I wanted to bring up something else just quickly, an opportunity that's out there. If you want to take it, you can. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. We give to the church, and I thank God we do. We have a place here that we have community. We have a place here of Christian education. We have a place of service, a place of worship. We give gifts to this place and tithe so that we continue doing this thing. And that's a wonderful thing. But we also know that we all give elsewhere, right? Like, this is not the only place we give to the world. And I want to give you an opportunity that if you choose to, it's a unique opportunity for us that I kind of like. I rotated on the board of trustees for an organization just this recently called Global Studies. It's a global studies group. It's a group out of Bethel University, which is our university, that is on the forefront of getting high school and college kids education through some travel opportunities where it's not the kind of travel where you go and you just get to see the world and hang out. It's a class that's involved in it. And in fact, I'm getting to teach one of them and take a group in 2027 to Morocco. We're doing a whole class on it. And adults are invited as well. It's a really cool thing. The Global Studies Group focuses, though, on young people who've never traveled before out of this country, and gives them the opportunity to take these classes and learn in places that really expand their context and understanding. Kids from like Gibson, Northwest Tennessee, up by Bethel, they get to travel for the first time. We have a lot of folks that travel, and I'm going to tell you what our family's going to commit to. Every time we take one of our trips, we're going to take a portion of what we spend, a small portion, and we're going to give it to the Global Studies Group and say, because we get to do this, we want another kid to get scholarship to do this. Next week in your bulletin, you'll see some information about this group, but I could not be more thrilled to be able to work for them, to be on the board, because they're doing really, really, really cool stuff and giving people wonderful opportunities. So when you see that come out, just know, you can do it, if you do it or don't do it, it doesn't matter, but this is just another one of those opportunities to do some good in the world in our giving. So you'll see that come out next week, and I just hope that you kind of see how we can do some cool stuff by doing the cool stuff that we do and just including others in it. So just know that that's coming ahead. Would you come with me in prayer, please? Lord, thank you for the gifts that we have been given. Thank you, Lord, that we get to give to others. And thank you that we get to give to the church to have this be a place of understanding and education and a beacon into the world. We thank you, God, for that. But truly what we hope is that you allow our entire life to be an offering to you and an offering to others. Allow us just to be an offering, doing good in this world, because you did such good for us. So thank you, God, that we are allowed to do that. We ask that you send us now into the time of the scripture, that you allow it somehow to be overwhelming to us, to speak deeply to us. Where my words are right and good, allow them to ring clear, and whether or not, allow them just to fall off so that they're not heard a bit. But let your word be heard no matter what. And God's people said,
you did a good sales job. I almost went with Suzanne and Amy.
You should have, man.
Today's scripture reading, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and knowledgeable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Whitney did such a great job, dude. Thank you. Thank you. I got permission to tell this story. The problem with being related to a preacher is all your things that happen can likely turn into a story. Be careful what you say around a preacher. But I want to tell this story because it's so perfect for the scripture. When Wes was a little kid, he was maybe 8 or 9, I guess, the first time you went to the river, give or take. So we made our first trip to the river in Arkansas, where I do so much fishing. And you kind of got to get an idea of what the river's like. That river's cold, dude. Like, I'm talking about 50 degrees year-round, real cold. Comes off the bottom of the dam, and so it's always cold. As soon as you touch it, what you first realize is, I don't want to go in that water. The river's big, too. It's not Cumberland River big, but you travel east of here, you go across the Caney Fork, right? It's a lot bigger than Caney Fork, if that makes sense. Somewhere in the middle between those two, and it's a big river. It's moving, man. And so the way you get around on it is by using these river boats. They're long boats. They can seat up to 4. They got about a 15-horse motor on the back, and they run nice and shallow because there's big rocks in the river, and the last thing you want to do is hit a big rock in the river. But they're fiberglass. They're thin, and they're narrow. They're about 20 feet long, but real narrow. And they're narrow enough that you can reach out and grab both sides of it and kind of hold on. You feel the rails moving when you do, too. It's not real, real, real sturdy. It's not easy getting in the boats either. On the dock, they have a lift that you push a button and it kind of lifts the boat a little bit out of the water. And so you can kind of step off from the dock and get into the boat. I saw a man about to do the splits one time because the boat got away from him. He didn't commit. You got to either go or don't go. I always get in the back because I drive. Suzanne's always in the front because she's catching fish. And don't think that's not true. She'll out catch all y'all. So Wes had at the middle seat. It's always a little awkward getting in the boat, too. You stumble around a little bit. And so Wes starts to get in the middle seat, and that was challenging because he didn't want to go in the middle seat of the boat. He wanted to go back in the cabin because this suddenly had gotten a little bit kind of shaky. I assured him everything was good, though, and his mom assured him everything was good, and that was everything he needed. And so we strapped his life jacket up on him and lifted him up over the rail and set him down in the boat, and he got in his seat and sat in that pedestal chair, and everything's rocking on him, and his eyes are as big as can be, and he immediately grabbed both sides of that boat, and he just sat there. The first time you go and do this, it's a little bit like walking across a swinging bridge, you know? You sit there and look at that swinging bridge, and you know people are walking across it, and you seem like it's got to be safe, but that just doesn't seem like the place I want to be, and it's out there swaying, and that's kind of how it is. Wes thought he was like on a swinging bridge in the middle of the river, and he was scared, and I heard. So anyway, he's out there, and we decided we're going to kick out, and so I back the motor out, and we start going up, and we start heading full bore up the river, right? And we don't get 100 yards, the water's splashing, the loud motor's running, and you can't hear anything with a motor in your ear in the back, and there's a lot going on, and Wes is holding on to his sanity, 2 rails at a time, and farther back there in the back, what did I do but lose Father of the Year award again? I couldn't help it. I had to start swerving the boat back and forth. I could not do it. I mean, my son's up there. I had to ruin the moment, and so I start swerving it back and forth. And then, you know, I told you couldn't hear anything, right? I couldn't hear what he said, but I knew exactly what he meant. Either you take me back or you're not my dad anymore. Pretty close to that one, son. He said, yeah. I quit being a jerk, and I apologized profusely, and I told Wes I'd be some semblance of a real father for the next little while, and let's go anyway. And he realized he was a captive person. He couldn't do anything about it, no how. And so I don't stop fishing for anything, including anxious children, apparently. But he was good, so I revved it up again, and he held on again, man. And he went up the river, and we're off to our fishing holes. Church, the White River is beautiful. You head up, and when you first go, you get to the first island, and if it's high water, The water flows over the island, makes these beautiful ripples. If it's low, you can run the boat up and rest it on the island, go walk around and catch a limit of fish just from the whirlpools or a little, you know, around the island. Then you go up underneath the bridge, and once you're underneath the bridge, your next 30 miles is the best trout river in the world, man. It's unbelievable. It's clear as a veil. You can see down 10 feet. It's deep until it's not, and then it's not deep until it is, and everywhere in the middle, and the canyon walls go up, and we've watched eagles hitting the water and getting fish, and there's valleys where you can see muskrats and deer and all this kind of stuff, man, and it's gorgeous. It's where God lives. He just put a forwarding address in heaven. That's my opinion on the whole thing. As we're sliding along the water, I started noticing something. Wes's life jacket wasn't up on his neck anymore. Starting to slide down a little bit. He's starting to look around a little bit. He was even looking over, you can touch the water. It's right there. And so he was starting to look over the water, still holding on. I think the spray probably hit him a little bit, and that might have been when he caught the bug. Because it was just about then he let go of both sides of that boat. He let go, and here's the family lore about it. He let out a scream, yell, threw his little arms in the air and screamed like only an 8-year-old kid. Watch your ears, church. And he screamed, "I feel so alive!" He yelled it so loud the eagles jumped in the air, man. People didn't catch fish the next hour in the river because the fish heard it. That's how loud this kid was, man. "I feel so alive." Back me up, Wes. Exactly how it happened, wasn't it? I couldn't hear anything in the back, but I guarantee you I heard that. "I feel so alive." Wes has kept that alive feeling churning in his life. That's the beauty of youth, I suppose, forever young. His adventures go off the appropriate rails all the time, and he feels alive. That's one of the 15,000 things I can think of just today that I respect about our four boys. Don't get cocky. That's only $37.50 a piece, and that's on average. Keep that in mind. Isn't it great to feel alive like that? When's the last time you felt just alive like that? That was what was so beautiful about it. He said the exact thing that we were all thinking. He just said it. You ever seen that kid in the symphony? Have you seen this video? There's this kid. Some major symphony was playing. It was being recorded. I don't know where it was. It doesn't matter. And it was the end of a movement or whatever it's called. And it was all horns and it was huge and it was a big band and there were cymbals and clashes and booms and bams and this big ending. And it was all symphony and tuxes and fancy dresses and classy and all this stuff going on, right? And then comes this fantastic ending, and it's gorgeous and it's huge. And then, I wouldn't know anybody. I don't know when to clap, by the way, at the symphony thing. So I just wait for somebody else to start clapping, and I do. That's all I know. This was one of those temporary endings, I guess, and so everybody was quiet, amazed, no doubt, just waiting because they were in tuxes and fancy dresses and they knew what to do, I guess, except for one child. Another little boy who pierced the moment with pure joy. With one word, he brought an entire room to laughter. In that silence, waiting for the next note, he just proclaimed, "Wow!" And the whole room lost their minds. That's what we want. When we're escaping or just living, that's what we want. We want to feel alive, right? Just to feel alive again. To get tied up, we get tied up all the times and things and work and this and that and doctors and everything else. And life sometimes doesn't really feel all that alive. And so we do things to try to bring that feeling about us. We do something big or it doesn't matter. We just want to feel alive. We travel to feel alive. It's hard to not feel alive when you're somewhere where you'll never be again, possibly. You know, Suzanne and I don't give gifts to each other very often. We don't give gifts. We give each other money so we can go on trips. That's what we do. It's our version of feeling alive. Life is why we go to ball games, why we go to movies or read a good book or we do anything that we enjoy, I think. You can't prove it this year by the University of Kentucky, but there's a reason I drive to Lexington several times a year. Rupp Arena gets loud when the Blue and Whites are playing well, man. And it's Go Cats, and it's loud, and your boy gets loud sometimes. It's a blast, man. Holidays are like that. Traditions are like that. Nature is like that. Some people even jump out of planes to feel alive. I don't know that, understand that one at all. I got to thinking about all this when I read this scripture this week, this idea of what it means to be alive. I got to thinking, so many experiences of feeling alive are just temporary, aren't they? They're fleeting. Kentucky wins, Kentucky loses, you know. We go fishing, but then we come home to work or school or stresses and we eat fish sticks. We travel, and what a privilege it is to travel, but does my wealth and my privilege make me, you know, somebody important that I can be alive? Well, don't ask James that question. What's it mean to be alive, truly alive? I think James is answering this question, and like Jesus, doesn't always answer it like we would prefer he does. James is writing to all the Christians in the known world. That was what we said week one. To all the Christians, this is what he says. And he's talking about wisdom. And honestly, a lot of times, James has been pretty harsh in how he's talked about wisdom, hasn't he? It ain't been easy. He's been talking about how not to be. He's been telling people, to go pick flowers for the neighbor and be nice. He's just been screaming, "Don't touch the hot stove," over and over. He reminds us that there is some stuff that looks good, and it feels good, and it ought to be good, but it isn't. Even if it ends up looking good for us in the end, it's not good. And so he's been harsh while he's been saying that, and he even does some of that harshness in the scripture that we just heard. But then James does something amazing in this scripture, and he gives us the basis of what it means to truly be alive in this world. That's what I think James is telling us. How to be truly alive. I'm not discounting Wes's lives. I'm not discounting any of ours. I pray everybody has a good life, you know, at least as good as mine. That's living life, and we should do that, you know. I still argue that Jesus went on vacation. Y'all know this, right? Jesus went on vacation. He went to Tyre and Sidon. You know what that is? That's the ocean. He didn't grow up by the ocean. He had no reason to go there. And all of a sudden, Jesus goes and takes off on vacation and goes to Tyre and Sidon on the Mediterranean. We enjoy life. That's part of the goodness, right? Who doesn't like going to the beach? But even as good as those things can be, they can as quickly lead to hell as they do to heaven if we don't live them wisely. This is nothing we wouldn't teach our kids or somebody else's kids. We know that there is something more than just living to being alive. There's a living a life that's wise. And finally, as we start the second half of his letter, he finally gets to what it looks like to really live a life that's alive in Christ. We read it a minute ago, so I'm not going to read that whole thing again, but I want to define five words for us this morning that showed up in that scripture. Just five. I want to simply define them. Five words that we need to know to be able to read the scripture well. Here are the five words. Wisdom, pure, peaceable, gentle. I spelled it Gentile here. Gentle. Full of mercy. Those are our five words. These words are what define a Christian's life to feel alive for us and for all those we encounter. So I want to go through them real quickly. The first one is wisdom. This word in the transliteration of it is Sophia. So if you know a Sophia that's not wise, tell her to go by her middle name. The definition of it is this. In the context of James, this refers to clear judgment formed by character and experience that guides right action. It is not just head knowledge. It's an understanding of a world that's gained through living life faithfully, living through the trials, and even learning from our misses. And when we realize that we've been saved to live in God's kingdom now by God's rules, we realize then that part of this wisdom is going back and figuring out if what we knew all this time in this world's kingdom is worth still knowing or not. Wisdom is reflecting and making sure that God will follow, that we follow God in the pantheon of gods that our world offers to us. That's wisdom. So what does wisdom look like? There's four words. We just read them. The first one is pure. This word means a moral integrity, a lack of hidden agendas or ulterior motives, And it describes a life that is single-minded and oriented toward God's values rather than mixed with worldly measures of status. Don't write these down. I'm going to give you something in a few minutes because it's going to help you out. I'm going to read it again. It describes a life that's single-minded and oriented toward God's values rather than mixed with the worldly measures of status. And I just need to ask this today. Is that who we look up to in this world? People with lack of hidden agendas, who have moral integrity and no ulterior motives, who are single-minded and oriented toward God's values rather than mixed with worldly measures of status. Is that who we follow in this world? Is that our hero? Is that who we admire? Or do we say that there are worldly measures of status that make us separate from some others, but pure in every other way? Second word, peace-loving or peaceable. This denotes a disposition toward wholeness and reconciliation. It's the opposite of the world's outrage. It's the opposite of the business model of anger in our world. It describes a way of living that seeks the common good, that tones down the rhetoric, and rather than seeking to dominate or win arguments, well, cares instead. So I have to ask, what in this world is peaceable today? Are the people that we look up to peaceable? The ones that we follow? The ones that we admire? Are our heroes peaceable people? Or would we prefer we hoard the peace so that not everybody gets some? Third word, gentle. What's the fourth word? But the third of these, the word is gentle. It also is open to reason, is another way to say this word. The NRSV, if you have that, says that the English word that best matches is submissive. Does anybody have an NRSV Bible with you right now? If it is, mark that word out. It does not mean submissive. Stop it. That is a terrible translation. This refers to someone who will yield because they're reasonable people. They're not caught up in what they should believe. They're not caught up in what they always believe or believe because of who they are. It's a characteristic of those who are quick to listen and slow to speak. And this is James's law of liberty, gentleness is, because it prioritizes mercy, it prioritizes relationships, and it prioritizes those over any rigid or legalistic or strict justice. Strict justice is never gentle, and it's never open to reason. If it's gentle to be the ear, it is gentle to be the ear that listens to what one's mouth reveals it has never known. I read that. Oh, I read that, and I love that line. Listen to it again. It is gentle to be the ear that listens to what one's mouth reveals it has never known. What in this world is gentle today? Is it who we look up to? Do we follow and admire the gentle people? Or is gentleness and reason, like another pastor I heard say recently, just a way of no hope? The last word is this, full of mercy. This is the word that means that mercy boasts because it's better than judgment ever could have been. It's the vision of mercy standing on top of a conquered opponent judgment and standing there with his foot on it and with his arm raised. That's what the word means. In the context of James, it is the visceral, unglamorous interruption of one's own comfort to ensure someone else's well-being. Are you okay if it's worse for you so it can be better for somebody else? Can you risk something so that somebody else gains something? This represents the royal law too, that treats everyone with dignity as a true child of God, regardless of their status in this world. This is the basis of the royal law, and so I just again have to ask, what in our world today is merciful? Is that what we look up to, the merciful? Do we follow those that are full of mercy? Do we admire and our heroes are those that are full of mercy? Or do we think judgment has a good way too? This is all what James called wise. This and no other. In fact, it's not part of this way and part of the other way. He reminded us that of a couple of weeks ago. It is only this way that is wise, and there is no other. And the reason is very simple. There is only one way to be alive, and it's through Jesus Christ, who brought life and lived just like this. And it's through living life by being pure and peaceable and gentle and full of mercy that living truly happens. James says that living like that because Jesus lived like that. Are you ready? Living like that because Jesus lived like that is simply this. It is simply the difference between being alive and being dead. That's it. That's all. It's the difference in being alive and dead. And he means that being alive means living today, by the way, in a living way. Our world is dying, church. It always has. It's nothing new. Our world takes. Our world infects. The people are not peaceable. Gentleness is a trait not admired in the real world. Leaders have never shown it. The people don't demand it. We take it with those it's easy to live with and hope nobody notices when we don't live it with someone else. The full world is not full of mercy. It's bankrupt. As rich as it is, it's bankrupt. It's rich on its own powers. It's rich on self-righteousness, and that's never a merciful way of being. And James says that even if we can't fix the world, if we can't do squat about the world, even if the fools of the world keep on being foolish, there is still wisdom to live out. But it can only be known in a world like it truly is when we live, when we can be those things and be wise, and when we listen. And it might give us a glimpse of how heaven will be if we can live it. So, church, I'm going to ask you to do something. Do this side. Would you mind, boss? I'm going to ask you to do something. We got too many people here. I made 50. If you're a family, if you don't mind taking one, take one. But I want you to do something. I want you to take the handout. If you don't mind just starting them around. I want you to take the handout that you have that I'm going to send out for you. Just pass them around however you want to. If it doesn't finish out, everybody gets one. I got more I can print. But I want you to take this handout. I don't know what you need to do with it. Fold it up, put it in your pocket. Stick it on your refrigerator. I don't know what you need to do with it. I don't know. You may not need to do anything with it at all. I don't know. Put it in your purse. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your computer. Lord have mercy, put it wherever you get your podcasts. And as you listen to the world, I want you to pull this thing out that I'm giving you right now. And I want you to test the system. Test it with God's wisdom. Test it with James's wisdom. Look at whatever you're watching. Listen to whatever you're hearing. Be a part of whatever you're being a part of, and ask this: by this basis, is it wise? Is it wise by the standards of James? Is it wise by the standards of Jesus Christ? And if it's not, it's not of God. And if it will not make you alive, I got bad news. It'll kill you. So, church, go be alive. In all that you do, go be alive. Be wise. Be wise by being faithful, by being peace-loving, by being gentle, and by being merciful. And do that to a fault, man. Because here's what I know about heaven, or at least how I'm going into it. When I get to heaven, if I have to answer for being too gracious, too merciful, too gentle, too peaceful, then that's just an argument I'm going to have to make in front of my God. And I bet you my God listens. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Our final song this morning is Take My Life and Let It Be. I like the rest of it, consecrated. Let's stand and sing. question, brother. Have you noticed that in a lot of churches, you've been to a lot of churches, right?
Sure.
You notice in a lot of churches, about after Christmas, what happens out here? There ain't many people, right? Would y'all look around a minute? It's wonderful what's happening. Also in the summertime, right?
That's right.
Same thing happened this summer. We got a committed bunch of folks in the church, man. Thank you all for who you're being. It is so wonderful to hear that sound coming out of a congregation in this world. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Just imagine when Easter gets here.
Oh, Lord. Let's do that now. Oh, we are, aren't we? It's Sunday. That's right. You saw me sit down. That's because my knee's hurting. I did tear the meniscus. I knew I did 6 months ago. I finally got the diagnosis. So appointment on the 21st, and then found out treatment options, but I anticipate getting a scope, no big deal. In the meantime, love your pastor through ibuprofen, please. From Melanie, please pray for Antonio Saavedra. I've brutalized that name, and I apologize. Who passed away from complications following a fall. And also Barb Conaway, a close friend of her brother's family following a battle of cancer. And then from Kitty, prayers for niece Megan and a family who had a small house fire Friday. Praise that everyone in the family is unharmed. Please be in prayer for those and for me as we go forward. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Yes, Suzanne. I got to take a moment. Y'all, if you've never been to Burrito Ministry, y'all got to come on, man. You meet people like Roman. We didn't see Roman for a good long while. We saw him again 6 months ago, maybe. We started going back to another spot we used to go to. And when Roman sees you, he just makes you know that he's glad he saw you. You know, there's some people that just have that talent. You just know that he's glad you're there. And he's struggling, and yet as soon as we saw him, it was a smile and a bro hug and the whole bit. So keep roaming in your prayers. And if you haven't been to Burrito Ministry, come on, you got to come on and see it sometime. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am. Well, see, that's what I was thinking. I think there's two reasons we need to pray for us. Well, we need to pray for us because how are we going to survive? The other is, how are they going to handle us being that jealous over them? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I hope you figure out a way to make it without us. But congratulations to Tripp, and I hope you have a blast. Y'all have a wonderful trip. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
I stay with Noah Taylor, our neighbor. He's had a couple more situations happen in the trying to get him into treatment.
Prayers for Noah and his mother. I saw another. Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for Whitney, for his GI, and prayers for Mary and Shayla on a ski trip next weekend, that they have a good trip and a safe trip.
Go down the hill. It's the best direction to go. It's the only advice I got. Yes, ma'am. That's right. I heard about that. Now, let me tell you something. The young woman just praised for another member of the family, a little animal they got. Y'all know in seminary, we had an entire discussion one day on pets in heaven because somebody was upset their pet had died. Like, this is in seminary, a master's degree seminary program, right? You would think we're talking about all this crazy. She goes, my pet died. What do I do? And my New Testament professor, y'all know her, she got up in front. And she started talking about how she used to fish with her dad, and their dog used to be beside him. She said, if the all of creation is not restored, then I'll get to sit with my dad and my dog again. And I was like, oh, she got a good point. And this idea of, man, animals and creation being families, it's God's honest truth, so that's cool. It's cool. Glad, thank you for bringing it up. Are there others? Yes, sir.
Carlene, if she's dealing with that too.
Are there others? Anybody else? How long was she? It's probably her sister's not with us. Not her, it's her sister. Anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, our prayers are part of the wisdom that you asked us to have. You know everything, God. We're not bringing anything to your attention. We're not suggesting things that you just never thought of. But yet you still asked us to pray. I don't believe you're just an egotistical God who just wants to make sure his people are talking. I don't think that's it. I think something happens in prayer that goes beyond just our asking for a favor. I believe, God, that you call us to pray because it changes who we are when we pray as well. When we hear Noah's name week after week, we just heard for a young man is struggling. When we hear of the praise of a new family member, Lord, we all just want the family to enjoy the new pet. Something happens with us when we pray for the world, Lord, and we thank you, God, for that. And so for a moment in silence, we just lift up some names and some situations and some things. And there's nothing that you don't already know. It's nothing that you don't know we're already worried about even. But we ask that you do something in our relationship with you and with other people through our prayer. This is our silent prayer to you. God, we pray this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand for the benediction, please? Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy, because to go that way is to go with wisdom. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you and never from one another. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I get it.